Who would have thought 20 years ago that Woody Allen would emerge as a defender of traditional morality? But I don't know a way to avoid that conclusion, having watched his most recent offering called To Rome with Love. It's a movie that's in continuity with his recent ones, which have been based in great European cities. Think of Match Point, based in London, Vicky Cristina, Barcelona, of course, in Barcelona. Last summer we had Midnight in Paris. And now we have To Rome with Love. So they're all about these, you know, grand European cities. And this one shares with Midnight in Paris a certain whimsical surrealism. But what I found most interesting was that it presents a defense of love. And not love in a superficial way, but love is the real, you know, focus of life. To Rome with Love features a number of narratives, none of which really interweave at the level of the story, but all of which have a certain thematic unity, because they're about the ways we get tempted away from the path of love and how we're called back to authentic, you know, integrity. The first story has to do with a fellow named Leopoldo, very ordinary man who's played by the great Italian character actor Roberto Benigni, who won the Oscar a few years ago. And Leopoldo, one day, for no apparent reason, finds himself the object of intense media scrutiny and attention. His car is surrounded by cameras and by reporters. Wherever he goes, he's hounded. He's asked questions about his shampoo and his favorite shaving cream. Women present themselves for his sexual gratification. He has like all of the perks of media fame, you know. When he turns to a friend of his to ask what's going on, the friend says, "Well, you're famous for being famous." So, Woody Allen is clearly lampooning our sort of celebrity-obsessed Kardashian culture where people are famous for no apparent reason. But he's making a deeper point, too, because what becomes clear is poor Leopoldo had become addicted to all this attention. When the media turned to another ordinary person, they turned away from him, he suddenly missed it. In fact, he missed it so badly that he danced on one foot in the middle of the street to attract attention. At which point, his wife intervened to kind of, you know, calm him down and take him home. And Leopoldo realized that all this fame was just, you know, was nothing. It was all fleeting and evanescent. And what really mattered was the love of his wife and his kids. The second story has to do with Millie and Antonio. They're a young Italian couple, newlyweds, who've come to Rome for their honeymoon. And Millie wanders off to find a hairdresser, and then she gets utterly lost in Rome, which she doesn't know at all. And in the course of her wandering around, she finds this set to a movie. And on the movie set is this famous leading man actor whom she's admired for many years. And the leading man takes her back to his hotel room, begins to seduce her, at which point this becomes typical Woody Allen sort of farce. A thief emerges, the thief frightens away a leading man, but then she has sex with the thief because it's such an exciting thing. So she's a newlywed woman, but she's caught up in all this excitement suddenly. In the meantime, while she's gone, her husband, Antonio, meets this a prostitute played by Penelope Cruz. And I'll make a long story short, but she manages eventually to seduce him. And so in a matter of hours, this newlywed couple each has given in to this kind of ephemeral but exciting sexual opportunity. But when they come back together, they realize that all of that is for naught, that they really want to return to their home city, they want to start a family, and they want to stay married and in love. So it's a return to the basic values. The last story is one that Woody Allen himself stars in, and it's a goofy, farcical story, too, about this man who's an opera singer, but he sings well only when he's in the shower. And Woody discovers him, and Woody is playing a retired opera producer. So he arranges that this man will appear in the great operas, you know, Pagliacci and the other ones, but he appears only in the shower and sings there. So, silly story. But, of course, the critics love this singer. He's a wonderful singer, a combination of, you know, Caruso and Pavarotti, and they sing his praises, at which point he faces the temptation of, you know, leaving his home life and his family to go in search of fame and fortune. But he decides that he won't do it, that he'll stay with his ordinary job and his ordinary family and be happy. Now, here's the thing, as those stories are linked together thematically, Thomas Aquinas long ago reminded us that real joy comes from union with God. We're all wired for God, as I often say. Well, who's God? God is love, which is why the life of love in its simple form, the life of love, is the life of joy. What happens to us, Aquinas says, is we get distracted from that path by wealth, pleasure, honor, and power, all the goods of the world. What do you see in this Woody Allen movie? But people who are lured away from the path of love precisely by that, by wealth, power, pleasure, and honor. All these characters in different ways are lured by the goods of the world. And each one of them realizes at the end of the day that none of those will satisfy them, that they will be satisfied only by walking the path of love. Now, as I say, who would have thought it 20 years ago? But, you know, I think in terms of making this argument about what makes life happy, I don't think Thomas Aquinas really could have said it better than Woody Allen says it in this movie.